listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks and On to Perfection at 7:45 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO. Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
Shalom Aleichem, peace unto you. Welcome to the Love Israel radio program. My name is David Ortega. I am the Southeast Outreach Director for loveisrael.org. We are an organization based in Israel that provides biblically based teachings with an emphasis on the Jewish context of Scripture in the Hebrew language. We have been dedicated to bringing the message of Yeshua, Jesus, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Over the next several weeks, we'll be taking a closer look at an often overlooked passage of Scripture, but perhaps one of the most important. We'll be looking at the Abrahamic covenant, which begins in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And the reason for this is because it is widely understood or misunderstood as something that is no longer valid for the believer today. It is often looked at from an unbiblical perspective that God has done with the nation of Israel. My friends, that is dangerous thinking, as we'll see. When it comes to the physical nation of Israel, there is nothing that will keep God from making sure that everything that he ever said concerning Israel comes to pass. We will overview its global impact on humanity to include Israel the people and Israel the land, and we will also see how this covenant affects the Gentile believer today. Let's begin. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Who said these words and why? What are the prophetic significance of these words? Who is the Israel of the Bible and what is her role? And finally, what is the role of the professing Christian today? We will be looking to answer these questions and then some from the Old Testament. But even before we begin our study, I thought it might be helpful to know that the term Old Testament was a phrase that would have been unfamiliar to Yeshua or Jesus. And why do I say this? Because during the time of Jesus, it was known to him and his followers, and for that matter, to all of Israel, solely as the Scriptures. What we call old is what he used to declare the kingdom. What we call old was relevant and useful and applicable to him and to his hearers, because it's exactly what he used to teach with, because the New Testament hadn't been written during his time. And this is a historical fact that many overlook today as unimportant. And as students of the Bible, it is always important to keep things in their proper context and perspective, to include the environment and the culture, and also the era of time in which God's word was written. This is especially important for us today to properly grasp what truth or truths God's word is trying to convey to us. But does this fact negate the importance of the New Testament? Absolutely not. But the purpose of teaching is to reveal truth, and that's what we're going to do. Today, you will hear many things from a perspective that you may or may not be all that familiar with. It is known as the Hebraic perspective. Is this a new thing? Absolutely not. Is it new for us? Yes, it is. But I will tell you that this has always been the perspective of the Bible. It's just that in all likelihood, we have never quite studied the Scriptures to include the New Testament from this Jewish lens, and that's okay. I believe that we can learn much more in addition to our traditional views and might even cause us to rethink some of our most closely held beliefs. And there are many who are beginning to come to this conclusion, and there are many who have come to this conclusion. And why is this so important? because this is God's perspective, and it's just that simple. And as the last days rapidly approach, I believe that the thinking of the church is beginning to see and experience the winds of change concerning the physical nation of Israel, some good and some bad. The question for us is, which side are we on? Where do we stand as believers in the body of Messiah Yeshua of Jesus? Do we stand against the very promises of God, as some groups have, even denouncing Israel as a nation? Or such as those calling for boycotts of Israel at every level, from trade to military support? Do we feel, as Christians, that we're the new spiritual Israel? Or have we stood with Israel in those very promises that were originally given to her and realized that, biblically speaking, it is because of those very promises that we have received blessing and salvation? Did not Messiah proclaim that salvation is of the Jews? And what did he mean by this seemingly scandalous statement? And what he meant is exactly what I stated a moment ago, that it was because of those promises to Abraham that the nations now have the opportunity to be included with the redeemed physical remnant of Israel in God's overall plan of salvation and redemption. And we'll touch on this theme throughout the teaching, but an honest look at the scriptures should always reveal that although Israel at this time has not yet fulfilled her prophetic destiny in full, God is not finished with her. In fact, Jeremiah 31 says that if the sun, moon, and stars cease to exist, and if the heavens can be measured, then Israel will cease to be a people before him. And as far as I can see, neither one has happened. We must realize that above all, God is faithful to himself, and that nothing will ever inhibit, stop, or alter the plans and purposes of the Almighty God. Israel's very existence does not depend upon you or I. Israel's existence does not depend upon any political alliance. Israel's existence is based solely upon God's very own spoken and written word. And we can surely count on this because the Bible teaches us that his word will not return to him unfulfilled. In other words, everything that God has ever spoken has come to pass, is coming to pass, and will come to pass, especially when it comes to Israel. So in time, Israel will come to fulfill her God-given destiny by becoming a light to all the nations, which, by the way, has partially come to pass in regarding the physical aspect of that promise. She will eventually become the preeminent nation because she is at the forefront of God's plans and purposes by which all the nations would be blessed. And if this is true, we must support Israel any way we can. Politically, physically, and of course, spiritually. The overall intent and purpose of this teaching is to educate us on the reliability of God's written and spoken word when it comes to Israel. There are many folks who do not understand the plans and the purposes of God concerning Israel and the land that God gave them. We also have for too long not understood what our roles and responsibilities as believers are when it comes to the physical nation of Israel. And again, to do this, we need to go back to the beginning of it all, the Abrahamic covenant. Why this covenant? Because contrary to modern thinking, the abundance of God's grace can be found within this Old Testament covenant with its far-reaching implications. The story of this covenant can be found specifically in the Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah are the first five books of the Bible. Its name is translated as teachings and instruction. The term law is an inaccurate translation. Again, this is the name by which Yeshua would have called these first five books. The word Torah comes from the Hebrew word meaning to shoot an arrow, which is interesting because the Hebrew word for sin, generally speaking, is chatat, and that word means to miss the mark. And the reason I bring this up is to show or teach that this was the intent of the Torah, to instruct Israel and all who would join her in righteous conduct. And although there are many reasons for the Torah of God, it was never God's intent for it to be used as a vehicle of salvation, and that's a misconception. These set of ordinances, statutes, and decrees were divinely created by a holy God for a set-apart people and those who would later come to join her. And I want to stress to you all here before I go on that there is absolutely nothing that could ever add to our salvation to include the Torah of God. Salvation comes solely through the work of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus. Salvation comes through the grace of God, and this grace through faith. But as Paul said in Romans 3:31, do we nullify the Torah, the law through faith? Heaven forbid. We establish the Torah. Remember what Yeshua said, do not think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but fulfill. What is he saying here? Not what you think. We must not and we cannot apply our Western 21st century mindset to a 2,000-year-old Jewish Hebraic concept. It's like fitting a square peg in a round hole. And he is not saying that because he is here now that the law is done away with, and that he fulfills the law, and that it is now irrelevant and unnecessary. For if that was indeed his intent, he would have no audience, and he would not be the Messiah. All he's saying from the biblical Jewish perspective is that he did not come to do away with the Torah, but that he came to give it its proper teaching and intent. And in Hebrew thought, the word fulfill is to be understood as uphold and expand upon. Because if he indeed came to do away with the law, as some would state, why would he in his very next breath say that until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the Torah until all is accomplished? As far as I can see, heaven and earth are still here. And if this is indeed true, what that means for us is that the covenant that we're about to look into just might be relevant for us today as it was for the original recipients of these promises, Israel. Let's see what the scriptures have to say. Let's all go to Genesis 12:1-3, and let me start with a bit of background. And what we have here is the very beginning of monotheism, or the belief in one God. What we see is God revealing himself to a particular man at a particular time for a very specific purpose. When God revealed himself to Abraham, he was part of a culture and society steeped deeply in the worship of many gods, in other words, idolatry. It was a culture of absolute moral depravity that had no fear of the one true God. But amid this lost society stood out someone that was chosen by God to eventually change this deplorable and cultural mindset. But what was it about Abraham that God would select him from all the others? Was it his dynamic personality or charm? Was he an eloquent speaker? The answer, of course, is none of these. And I believe that although not stated here, God knew that Abraham was different than those around him. It is stated in Genesis 18 what his character was like. It states, "For I have loved him because he commands his children and his household after him that they keep the way of the Lord, doing charity and justice, in order that the Lord might then bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken." So even though this was stated about him after this initial encounter in Genesis 12, this should give us an idea of the character of this Hebrew man. So it would be fair to say that this man from the outset was a man of noble character, a man of integrity. But I will also say this, whether or not this is true of his character at the time of his calling, the bottom line is that God chose him. Abraham was the first of all the elect. Well, that's all we have time for today. Please join us next week as we continue in our study of the Abrahamic covenant right here on Love Israel Radio. You've been listening to Love Israel with David Ortega. If you enjoyed this teaching and wish to hear more, please check us out at loveisrael.org. That's loveisrael.org, where you have access to over 200 in-depth free video, audio, and written teachings from our principal speaker, Dr. R. Baruch. We're also pleased to announce that we are the only organization broadcasting biblical truth on TV in Israel in the Hebrew language. This is powerful and we need your help. We cannot do it alone. We depend upon your contributions. Romans 15:27 states, "For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things." If you want to take part in the restoration of Israel, please consider partnering with us. The time to favor Zion has come. You can donate right on our website at loveisrael.org. We are a Florida-registered 501c3 nonprofit organization. Therefore, your contributions are tax deductible. I am local and attend Karam El Messianic Synagogue in Fort Pierce at 2900 Jenkins Road. If you have any questions or comments, please write me at d.ortega@loveisrael.org. That's d.ortega@loveisrael.org. Or contact me at 954-214-4240. Thank you and God bless.
This program is brought to you by Advanced Eye Care Center, office of Dr. William Olivos and Dr. Ronald McCord. Advanced Eye Care Center offers full spectrum vision care. We are a faith-based eye care center with offices in Fort Pierce and Port St. Lucie. We can be reached at 772-460-8487 and 772-878-1414. On parle français y hablamos español. Thank you and God bless.
You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Jesus is alive.
Welcome to Life Receiving Word with Dr. Janie Owens. In a world full of trial and trouble, God has a life-receiving word for you today. And now, here's Pastor Janie.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome.